Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
And hello out there, all you Lassoholics, and welcome back to Peanut Butter and Biscuits, your Ted Lasso fancast from the Front Row Network on NPR Illinois. I'm Jeremy Gechner, and we have another special episode with you today because Season 3 still isn't out. But, of course, our good friends AJ and Mel are hard at work editing to get that one ready. But in the meantime, it is Emmy season, everybody, and our boys and ladies in Ted Lasso, they scored big again with 20 nominations. Here to break it all down with me is my co-host, as always, Mr. Craig McFarlane. Craig, what's up, man?
Hey, buddy, I was going to say AJ and Mel also nominees. So yes. Not only are they working hard, but
Congrats, guys.
Getting some recognition for some hard work last season as well. I'm so excited. This, of course, ties the number of nominations they received for season one. A lot of people didn't expect that because they thought that they would have not necessarily a sophomore slump, but there is just such a rush of good TV out there. Yeah. And there were so many shows that came back that were on kind of a longer hiatus, shows like Barry and shows like Atlanta that were on sort of a longer hiatus from COVID. And so people were saying, is Ted Lasso going to reign supreme still in the comedy category? And the answer is a resounding yes.
Yeah, so a little background on why the Emmys are very weird before we start talking about them, guys. But just so you know, like season two was released before the Emmys that were nominated for season one. So all the Emmys that Ted Lasso won last year were for season one, even though season two had already been released. And this is just kind of like just the really truncated, weird way that the Emmy nomination process happens. The timeline for release to nomination is insanely wide. And it leads to, you're right, Craig, a lot of just kind of disparate campaigns of how to do this. There's a lot of shows that try to, especially streamers, try to delay the releases to closer to nomination season. And if there's anything you could take from this year, it's kind of that strategy didn't seem to pay off for a lot of these shows. The other cool part about that is, though, you're right, though, with so much distance between Ted Lasso season two and these nominations to yesterday, it is just kind of, and by yesterday, I mean Tuesday the 12th, you know, but like there is just this insane gulf of time. And it is good to know that the Academy, the Television Academy, really did still love what the crew put together for season two, especially in the technical categories, the No Weddings and a Funeral episode, which is what you and I thought would get the most nominations episode wise. We're going to go through all of these nominations, obviously talk about some of them a little bit more than others. But Craig, any other thoughts before we start listing off our favorite crew here and what they accomplished?
No, I think that we can get it as we go along the nominees. So let's give it to them, all 20 nominations for Ted Lasso.
X gonna give it to you. All right, well, let's start with the technical categories here. So outstanding sound mixing for a comedy or drama series, half hour, and animation also thrown into that. But the crew was nominated for Rainbow this year, and those sound mixers are Ryan Kennedy, Sean Byrne, David Laskelis, and Arno Stefanian. So those were the recording mixers, the production mixer, and the Foley mixers. I do kind of like that Rainbow is the one that got this because it was like the most, I remember that one using the most music and the way they used the song Rainbow in that, and just kind of the way they mixed like the Love Actually theme from Curtis Strong. You know, I think that it's a pretty good nomination here.
This is where I'm going to depend on you because you've given me a good explanation of this in the past when we talked about sound mixing and sound editing when it came to the Oscars. So explain to our listeners who might not know the difference between what sound mixing is versus sound editing.
Yes. So, and I really hope that I do this correctly. Sound mixing is actually the art of kind of finishing the product in a way. So like when they list here the Arno Stefanian as the Foley mixer, what that basically is the guy who comes in afterward and like adds the sound of like footsteps in a studio, or actually adds like the turning of a door, like a creaking of a door, something like that. That's not something you actually capture on the set most of the time, or at the very least it won't sound like you want it to sound. So this is really kind of the making of the sound of the show. And then of course the sound editing part is where you kind of mix it all together along with music, along with any kind of ADR, which is lines that happen after you've shot, that you're like, oh wait, I really wish Roy would have said another oi there or something like that. So this is like the practical like making of sound for an episode, which is what's nominated here. And again, Rainbow just had a lot of stuff going on in it. There's just a, you know, you got the sounds of the stadium, especially when Roy comes back in. You know, there's just a lot of things that you got to capture to make that work.
Absolutely. And it's a great episode. It's nominated in a lot of different places in the technical categories. And I think it makes sense. You know, there's actually, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, three episodes that are called out and nominated in technical categories, one of which being Rainbow. Of course, No Weddings and a Funeral, which we predicted. And buddy, I know you want to get there, so maybe we should go there right now. What's nominated for production design in a half-hour comedy?
Ooh, production design in a half-hour comedy. So he's going to make me scroll up to
You're
make sure.
You're scrolling through your list, but I will give it to you now. I don't know if you know this yet, but Beard After Hours.
Beard After Hours, baby. Woo!
See, did you know look, that yet? Have you seen that one on the list?
In the back of my mind, but it's 20 nominations. You know, here's the thing, guys. I don't brag often, but when the Television Academy vindicates you, I feel like you need to be. So all those people that wanted to crap talk me for getting Beard After Hours so far in the bracket tournament, I am vindicated and I will brag about it forever. Yes, of course, call out Paul Cripps and Stacey Dickinson for the production design and art direction of Beard After Hours. And look, come on. If you're going to nominate one episode for production design, like that one was so nuts. I mean,
like that apartment that he goes to, and, you know, like even all of the costumes and pieces and things like that are just scattered about that apartment, and all of them having somewhat of meaning, the hula hoops, everything. I mean, like so many things that go into how that looked. On the screen.
Yeah, absolutely. So also, let's not get too far down as well. Beard After Hours with another nomination here for Outstanding Sound Editing of a Comedy or Drama Series Half Hour in Animation. This is a very long list of people here, so I'll try to get through them all. Brett Finley, Bernard Weiser, Ashley Harvey, Kip Smedley, Mark Cleary, Jordan McLean, Sharon Gersh, Richard David Brown, Sanaa Kelly, and Matt Salib. All of these people. So again, this is the sound editing, not the sound mixing, which is literally the complete compiling of everything there. And again, you know, Beard After Hours might not be like the favorite narrative episode of Ted Lasso, but you have to admit there is so much going on there. And the fact that it all works, like, I, you know, just off the top of my mind, just like the hula hoop dance alone is an insane sequence. But the way they weave in Marcus Mumford's Blue Moon under the fight sequence in that episode, that really kind of underlays the way they get Thierry Henry just continually just showing up all over the place. I think that this is a very worthy technical episode to nominate.
And you get the voiceover during that of Jamie's father as well, and like those memories that come back. And yes, I agree. It is technically, it is a good episode to nominate, and well edited all around, from film editing all the way to sound editing, and of course the production design as well.
Yeah.
But any more technical categories that they are nominated for?
Absolutely. So kind of like the episode equivalent of Best Picture for like single episodes in television is the Outstanding Single Camera Picture Editing for a Comedy Series and stuff like that. And that one actually went to Rainbow. So our good friend Melissa McCoy there for editing that episode. But there's also one of those, I believe, for single camera editing for a comedy series, which is a slightly different category, but in the same vein. And that one was for actually No Weddings and a Funeral, for again what you said, our good friend AJ Cataline. So both of them getting their nominations there for I think some pretty damn good episodes. I would be pretty shocked, and I haven't seen all television out there, but the way that just that sequence of Ted and Rebecca recounting their experiences with their fathers when they were younger in that episode, I think that little 5-minute sequence is worthy of an Emmy myself.
So this is this was confusing to me because I had them listed in the same category. Are they in the same category? Or are they in separate categories?
The official Emmy website has them listed as two different ones, which is single camera picture editing for a comedy series, and then single picture. Oh no, you're right. I was reading the wrong one. Anyway, guys,
that's continue. Okay. That's okay. I just wanted to, you know, and I do think that No Weddings and a Funeral is beautiful. Rainbow was my favorite episode of the second season, as well as Tan Lines, right in that fifth episode spot in the first season, both edited by Melissa. And I love AJ to death. I love Melissa to death. But, you know, maybe she can get her Emmy this year. That would be my my one plug there. He got it for The Hope That Kills You last year. And so it'd be great to get her some recognition as well.
Yeah. So a few last technical categories here. Outstanding writing for a comedy series. They nominated No Weddings and a Funeral. That episode was written, of course, by Jane Becker. So very good there. We also, of course, got outstanding casting for a comedy series, which is kind of the SAG equivalent of like best cast ensemble. That was to Theo Park for the casting of it. Of course, outstanding direction for a comedy series for an episode. They nominated No Weddings and a Funeral. MJ Delaney, who all of always talks so amazingly about there. And then, of course, there was one more, which I think was outstanding contemporary hairstyling, which they also went for No Weddings and a Funeral. So Nikki Austin, the hairstylist designer, and Nicola Springall, the key hairstylist there. So those were all the technical awards. And it seems like No Weddings and a Funeral is the episode that everybody could, like the Academy really zoned in on in this season.
Well, we knew that that was going to be the one that they would submit the most because it technically it's a great episode, comes during a great story arc. It's well edited. It's just, I would say it is probably one of those as far as what the Television Academy may enjoy. It's definitely up their alley the most out of anything else in this season, I would say. It's not necessarily my favorite episode. We talked about that a lot. I just mentioned it was Rainbow, but it is incredibly well executed and all around just a great episode. So yeah. Hopefully they get a lot of wins for it. Nikki Austin actually participated in LassoCon when we did. So I had a chance to listen to her panel when we did that virtually. And just great to get to hear her stories about being a makeup artist and working with Jason in particular. And so who knows, maybe there's an invite coming your way, Nikki, in case you're listening out there, to come and chat makeup with us.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, well, what we're going to do now is kind of get into the acting categories because that's where the bulk of the nominations came from this year. And some very pleasant surprises, I will say. But this is also where we're going to kind of speak a little bit more general broad term about the Emmys as well to kind of like break down chances here. So, Craig, let's just start right at the top there. Our boy Jason Sudeikis, once again nominated for Best Lead Actor in a Comedy Series. And again, some pretty stiff competition that he was up against last time. He's up against Donald Glover for Atlanta, Bill Hader for Barry, Nicholas Hoult for The Great, and then the legendary Steve Martin and Martin Short, both nominated for Only Murders in the Building. So this is an interesting category. You know, normally you would try to say like, you know, maybe there's a newcomer that could like kind of sneak in there. Maybe that's like a sentimental thing with Steve Martin or Martin Short, but both of them might cancel each other out too. They do get very equal screen time in that show. So I don't know. I think that you kind of have to, you know, kind of short Jason Sudeikis here as the favorite in this category again.
I would assume so. You know, Donald Glover and Atlanta didn't, they got snubbed quite a bit for, they did not get a best comedy series. And people thought maybe that they would coming back from a longer hiatus because they were kind of an Emmy darling just a few seasons ago. Mm-hmm. So I would actually say that probably his biggest competition to me is Bill Hader and Barry, because it's being very well received, and Bill Hader really is the, much like Ted Lasso belongs to Jason Sudeikis, Barry really belongs to Bill Hader. He's very involved in the process, from everything from the writing, the production, the directing, everything else. And so I do think that maybe that is something on the mind of Emmy voters. Although I will say that when you look at Barry, it is a very dark comedy. There could be no greater difference between two shows than Ted Lasso and Barry. I do agree. Only Murders in the Building, I think, is going to actually, that's the top line one. I think that might compete against it for best comedy series, but we'll get there in a second. But I do think that putting both Steve Martin and Martin Short in this category together, that does do a little bit of canceling out votes. And so I think our boy might get it again.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it's easy to see the path for him to win his second one. And again, not only to discount the fact, but like, an amazing furthering of that character arc and the just kind of raw acting chops that Jason Sudeikis shows in this season. A lot more emotional, dramatic stuff he has to do and carry as Ted in this season. So, you know,
potentially it's... controversial statement, but I think that he acted the hell out of the second season more than he did the first.
I agree with you. I agree. And so I think that there's a lot to kind of latch onto there. But let's move then to the supporting categories here, because you could just call these just Ted Lasso categories. There's just so much moving on here, but let's start with a supporting actress who, and I know there's going to be some people who ask why Hannah is in this column. Like, if she's not a lead actress, what is she? It's usually just the way the studios want to nominate them. That's usually how that works. But of course, yes, we have a nomination for Hannah Waddingham for Juno Temple. And then a very, very surprising welcome addition here. Sarah Niles, Dr. Sharon herself, getting a nomination for supporting actress in a comedy series. They are up against a very, very big list of nominees here. Alex Borstein, of course, a multiple-time winner for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Hannah Einbinder for Hacks. That is a show that is really ascendant. Talk about another ascendant show. Janelle James for Abbott Elementary. She and her fellow castmate, Shirley Ralph, also nominated for Abbott Elementary. Kate McKinnon for Saturday Night Live. That just always seems to be the always the last one to be nominated in this category. So, Craig, I don't know... you know, like, it's easy to see how all of these could cancel each other out. Keeley got a much bigger arc. Obviously, Dr. Sharon's arc is so good in season two to help Ted along, but also just as a character herself. But, you know, you've got two really ascendant shows here in Hacks and Abbott Elementary. And then, of course, a mini multiple-time winner with Alex Borstein here. So this could be a tough one to crack.
I will say that, of course, the reason why the studio decided to put Hannah in supporting, because they saw the writing on the wall last year and they see it again. There's no one that's going to touch Jean Smart her works in Hacks.
Yeah.
So she's going to win best lead actress in a comedy series. But as far as like this category goes, I really do appreciate seeing Sarah Niles get slipped in there. There's a couple of people that, you know, you could call potential snubs that maybe she took that spot away from them. Abbott Elementary has a lot of nominations. It is one of the only network shows. In fact, it's believed the first network show since Modern Family to be nominated for Best Original Comedy.
Yep.
And so I think that that could get some play at the Emmys for sure. And then, you know, it does seem like kind of like an also-ran thanks for participating for Kate McKinnon for Saturday Night Live. But I will tell you, she's had an extremely successful run on Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
And of course, she is leaving the cast. And so this could be, you know, one of those swan song moments, like Don Draper, John Hamm didn't win for Don Draper until after the show had already really officially wrapped. And so you could see a way where some voters are like trying to reward her work as in Saturday Night Live as kind of like a capstone. All that being said, I think it's Hannah's to lose because she does amazing work, much like Jason, really ascended in season two. Mm. I get that she's the villain of season one for most of the season, but at the same time, she does some remarkable work here in season two. And so I think that she is the one who may come away with her second Oscar as well. She'll get her Oscar soon. Second Emmy as well.
There's somebody who really could legitimately EGOT because
no kidding. I mean, are you kidding me? Of course, she's gonna get her EGOT for sure
someday here. So yeah, this is a very interesting category. And look, you know, it's not just us saying it. Like most of the trade papers are saying, like, this is a very, very toss-up year. Like, there's hardly a way to, like, kind of handicap any of these races because of this wide amount of time that has passed. And, like you said, like, there's so many mainstays that you think back to the work on these shows, like Hannah Waddingham and like Jean Smart and all that, but then you're just like, but there is this immediacy thing of an Abbott Elementary or something like that. So you never know.
Don't you think it's going to go like the Emmys normally do, though? I mean, we say like, oh, there's all these, and we mentioned it last year. We didn't talk so much about the nominations last year, but we reacted to the wins that Ted Lasso had. But don't you think that it's going to go one way or another? If the night starts to go that Abbott Elementary is winning everything, they're going to win everything.
That's usually
Ted Lasso is maintaining their stranglehold on this category for a second year in a row. That's going to happen. I don't think that we're going to see many splits between like I don't think you're going to get, you know, the lead actress of Abbott Elementary to win and then Ted Lasso to win Best Comedy Series, if that makes sense.
Usually when there's an insurgent or, you know, up-and-coming show like an Abbott Elementary, it will just kind of just slay the rest. You're right. Like, I think that happened with Modern Family on their first season. It was just kind of like, nope, everything's gone. Now, again, though, a very different time when that show came out, streaming rules the day now. And, like, most series are, like, limited series that are streaming and, you know, they have unlimited budgets for the most part nowadays, too. So, you know, it's an interesting dynamic that you're talking about there. I can see also, though, Craig, like, there is a finiteness to Ted Lasso. Now, we do know that season three is the final season, so there might be this whole sense of, you know, let's reward this show while we have it. I know, but, you know.
I just read something in the Hollywood Reporter yesterday, and, you know, I only clipped it, and so I didn't see who they were actually talking to, but the person essentially said that, you know, don't say it's over till it's over. I think once the man comes out and says it is over, once we hear from the mustache himself, then that's when we can say it's over. But no, I do agree with you. I think that's why maybe something like Ted Lasso does still continue to pick up some of these wins. And then Abbott Elementary, it's interesting. We keep saying it's a network show, but I'll say that most people, including myself, probably picked it up on Hulu, which is a streamer, right? So anyway, it's just an interesting year for sure. But do you want to go over to the peanut butter and biscuits category, which is what I'm calling the best supporting actor for in a comedy
real.
Series?
For real now, if we could just get that new Marvel superhero back on there, we can complete the trilogy. But yes, supporting actor in a comedy series.
Spoilers, man.
Yeah, I know, right?
So many people
spoiling everything.
Send your hate mail specifically to Jeremy Gechner, not to me.
Yes, specifically to me. But of course, nominees this year, Brett Goldstein defending his supporting actor in a comedy series. He gets nominated again. Our boy Taheem Jamil, we were so hoping for it. And Sam Obisanya, now an Emmy nominee for Best Supporting Actor in a Comedy Series. And the one I'm most proud of, the one I think is the most deserved, Mr. Nick Mohammed, our good friend Nick Mohammed. Ted Lasso nominated for season two. And again, some pretty stiff competition here. Anthony Carrigan and Henry Winkler both nominated for Barry. Tyler James Williams for Abbott Elementary. Tony Shalhoub for The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And I gotta say, just as a side note, everything that man does on that show cracks me up.
Like, so great.
He is so good on that show. I hope he loses, but I hope that show keeps going. But,
so great.
And then, of course, the last nominee, Bowen Yang for Saturday Night Live. So I don't know, Craig. I literally could see them all like eating each other here. Brett Goldstein has been so ascendant. But if I'm going purely on the work of season two, I think Nick Mohammed deserves this award.
I agree. I think that, you know, Nick Mohammed is the one to me that ought to overtake Brett Goldstein. Roy Kent was such a prolific character in our culture. He really broke through well beyond the show. And I mean, he's every F and where, right? But like, it's including other properties now that I will not spoil, like my boy Jeremy did. But I will say that I think that Nick Mohammed does remarkable work in here. And just like, the second he posted that tweet at the end of the second season, that kind of pigeon stepped, like, or stair stepped, you know, Nate's turn. And you're just like, oh man, this guy really gets it. He really thinks about his acting. And that came through in our conversation with him as well. And so I do hope, I love Brett Goldstein to death. I really hope he comes on our show, but I will also say that I think Nick Mohammed is the one here. But Taheem Jamil is going to have such a remarkable career ahead of him. And I'm so glad that he gets the Emmy nomination, because Sam's turns in this, and Sam is asked to do so much more in this season. And I love that he's being recognized for that work.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very well deserved. Could be a very tough nut to crack here, so to speak, with this category. There's a lot of talent. Again, this is kind of like the story of the Emmys this year. It's just kind of like with the deluge of quality like television that's come out. It's just kind of like, okay, well, I can see that. Well, I can see them. Well, I can see them winning too. I mean, it's just hard. Like, this is just very hard.
And I don't know. I haven't seen all of Barry season three, but I guess that I would say that that's probably between Henry Winkler and Anthony Carrigan. That's probably the major competition there. Tony Shalhoub has been nominated several times for Marvelous Miss Maisel.
He's also been totally nominated like a million times for Monk as well. So he's always nominated.
Right. And he always does great work, but I don't know if this season necessarily of Marvelous Mrs. Maisel really played as well as some of the other previous seasons. It kind of came and went like with a whimper. Mm-hmm. I think next year they could be potential competition because it will be last season for Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And again, I think that there is some type of rewarding that happens to the end of the production as opposed to the beginning. But I think that maybe the Barry folks are the only ones that might be able to touch this. Again, of course, this is saying that if Abbott Elementary goes on a run, then they could win it all. I mean, they, you know, Ted Lasso won it all last year.
Yeah.
So it could be that every category that Abbott Elementary is up for, they just take. But I do think that Nick Mohammed, in my mind, deserves this award more than some of the other actors nominated for other great work.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the only other nominations to talk about here are the guest actor and actresses in a comedy series. And these were some pleasant surprises here. One nomination for Ted Lasso for guest actress in a comedy series, the legendary Harriet Walter playing Mrs. Welton herself, Rebecca's mom. Just an absolute fun stuff there. I believe she was in The Signal and No Weddings and a Funeral. So two appearances in the season. And she is also up against some pretty stiff competition. We're just going to call this this category the hacks category because we got Jane Addams, Harriet Sansom Harris, Laurie Metcalf, and Caitlin Olson for hacks, literally four nominations. And then the only other one in this category is the also legendary Jane Lynch for Only Murders in the Building. And I got to say, her appearance in that show is fantastic. She literally plays Steve Martin's stunt double. Don't think about it too much, guys. His character's stunt double. So literally her and Steve Martin are just the same, wearing the same clothes and like mimicking each other the whole episode. It's fantastic. But I don't know. Maybe, I mean, you would assume one of the hacks actresses would win this, I would assume.
It's so funny too, because they have four nominees and I think that they got it wrong who they should have nominated, because Ming-Na Wen in Hacks this season was so great. And I think that she would be considered a guest actress, although her role was big enough. Maybe she was bumped to some other category. Mm. I know that they do kind of look at screen time. Like they actually really do break this down and say like, who falls
there's,
into
a,
what
there's a pretty strict criteria
one.
There.
Yeah, so I would say I agree with you, though. I think that Hacks is going to take this. Although, who knows, with four hacks out
maybe
there,
they
I think
cancel.
That, I think that maybe Jane Lynch comes through because Only Murders in the Building is a really well-regarded show. And if the Emmys are anything like the Oscars, you like to make sure everybody takes home a prize every now and then. And so I could see Jane Lynch winning for that. Plus, she's a recognized name in the Emmys. I mean, of course, Jane Lynch has been ruling our televisions for many, many years now.
Yeah, absolutely. So the last category here for nominations for Ted Lasso, guest actor in a comedy series. One I expected, one I did not. So obviously Sam Richardson for his amazing, just there's no words to describe Edwin Akufu, just an insane performance there. We'll talk in a second, but also James Lance Trent Crim himself nominated for best guest actor in a comedy series. That is so awesome. You Craig, of course, and all of you fans out there know of my love of James Lance and Trent Crim specifically. Craig, what do you think of this? I was very surprised.
I have to say that this was a little bit of a head scratcher. And you know that we at Peanut Butter and Biscuits love James Lance, love Trent Crim, whether he's independent or with the independent, we love him. But he had not a lot to do in season two. In fact, I believe in our recaps there, if you go back and play them around like episode 10 or something like that, we're probably both like, we need more Trent Crim.
Yeah,
in this
where's James
season.
Lance?
And we
in this
do
season.
Get him in the finale. But
maybe it's
like
just literally the episode three like arc, just the reporting arc on Strelithium Oil.
And then, but then he's gone for a while. And it's just like he just comes back in. And I think he like meets Ted at the bar just to like tell Ted he's writing the paper or whatever. And then he leaves again or what. Anyway, it was a surprise to me. I do think that Sam Richardson makes a whole lot of sense. It's a fancy name and a guest role. He crushed it.
And it's insanely memorable.
Like, he had all of us being like, oh man, we like this Akufu guy. And then like just tore it up.
Epic blow up. For more on that, go back to our interview with Taheeb, where we definitely ask him how on earth he tried to keep a straight face while Sam Richardson was doing that.
If I can, though, I would maybe potentially, again, Only Murders in the Building. Nathan Lane, he's basically, I love Nathan Lane to death, so this is not a criticism, but he plays Nathan Lane in every single property that he's in. But he was particularly Nathan Laney in this particular property, and it was great. And so I did enjoy his appearance in Only Murders in the Building, so I could see him taking this.
Yeah, also, so Nathan Lane, Bill Hader for Curb Your Enthusiasm, Jared Carmichael for Saturday Night Live, and Christopher McDonald for Hacks are the other nominees here. You know, if Hacks has some coattails, maybe Chris McDonald can ride that there. Also a pretty long-standing name in the industry, but come on, you got to give this to Sam. I mean, I just really want to see that clip of him just tearing apart that mannequin and just like the Emmys just bleeping out every word he's saying on the clip show. Like, that's the only thing I want in this world. I just want that one clip of Sam Richardson destroying the mannequin, and we will be fine. The Emmys will be a success. So that's going to wrap it up for all the Ted Lasso nominations. Again, there's just so many nominations, and there's so much great TV out there.
You forgot one, buddy.
Oh, did I forget? Get one? Which one?
Best comedy series.
We gotta at least
talk about it for just a second. So it's up against Abbott Elementary, Barry, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Hacks, Oof. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, Only Murders in the Building.
Damn.
And then What We Do in the Shadows.
That is a murderer's row of comedy, guys.
And I mean, people are talking about like Atlanta is snubbed out of there. And so there's still some snubs that came around from there. I think it's absolutely, it can go a couple of different ways. I see four top contenders in this. I see Abbott Elementary maybe as the number one to be able to take on Ted Lasso. But right there underneath it, that third season of Barry is being very well received. And then I also think that Only Murders in the Building was extremely well received when it came out. And so I think that The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, again, I think that that is more of like a legacy nomination. Hacks, I think that we'll get some of the acting and maybe some of the directing or technical writing awards and things like that. But I don't think it's going to get best comedy series. And then What We Do in the Shadows, again, I think that's more of a holdover kind of nomination.
Just as a quick aside, I wish that show would get some more love because it's brilliant. I mean, you know, Taika doesn't write all the episodes anymore, but like that show like took the spirit of that movie and really just continues to run with it. And it's fantastic if you haven't watched it. It's also, I think, along with Abbott, the only network show. Although I don't know if you want to call FX a network per se, but you know,
well, especially now that like one. There's FX for Hulu or whatever. It's so confusing to see where any of this stuff is. But I will say that I think that Ted has a really good shot here. But I do think that there is some stiffer competition than last year in my mind with Barry and Abbott Elementary. I would not be surprised if one of those two walked away with it. And I also really wouldn't be surprised if Only Murders in the Building walked away with it as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. Only Murders is one of those weird shows that's very critically loved and very fan loved at the same time. So it's like that is a hard trick to pull off for both of them so enthusiastically. So I don't know if you have any others there, but there's just so much stuff on there. Like, you know, Pam and Tommy got a bunch of great nominations. That show was incredible. Succession actually led the entire field with 25 nominations, including, I'm pretty sure, an entire acting category in drama. I think the guest actor category was just all that. So
I mean, I would say that, you know, like maybe we can just call out one quick thing from other reactions that we had. Limited series was crazy this year. So the White Lotus, I think, is going to probably walk away with a lot of the awards for limited series. But you did mention the glut of limited series that came out in April, like right before the Emmy nomination window. That strategy did not work because We Crash and even The Dropout didn't get as many nominations as they thought that they would. And then a lot of those true crime limited series that came out didn't necessarily get what they needed. The one thing I will say is that lead actor in a drama series this year is nuts and ridiculous. You've got Jason Bateman in his last time in Ozark. You have, although I think it's the last time. Again, timing for the Emmys are weird. Bob Odenkirk, I can't remember if this will be his last time up for Better Call Saul because they are premiering part of the next season after the Emmy window. So again, some of these I might be wrong on, but if those two are going up against their last opportunity here, then that's going to be a huge battle. And then we also have the lead actor from Squid Game as well. And Squid Game getting 14 nominations and really taking Netflix by storm when it did. It's great to see that kind of that come into play in the Emmys as well. So it'll be a really fun night to cover the Emmys. I think maybe we can do a full recap once they're done and kind of go from there, see what Ted Lasso picked up and see if our friends AJ and Mel particular, but also Taheeb and Nick, it's just remarkable that we had a chance to talk to any of these people, let alone people that come away with Emmy nominations as well. But any final thoughts for you, Jeremy, before we wrap it up?
Nope, I think you got them all there. Again, as you said, we will do a full recap and everything, but you know, Zoom's about to kick us off, guys, so we got to wrap up here. But we hope you've enjoyed this Emmy recap of Ted Lasso's nominations and, of course, some other ones. Of course, if you want to find us anywhere, you can find us where you normally do, folks. Of course, the Facebook group Peanut Butter and Biscuits. And of course, we are the Front Row Network, a member of that network of shows. So you can find us there on the social medias as well. And of course, PBBFRN on Twitter, which is where we are all over the place. So that is going to do it for this episode of Peanut Butter and Biscuits. We have lots more coming for you before season three drops, but just stay tuned. So for Peanut Butter and Biscuits, I'm Jeremy Gechner.
And I'm Craig McFarlane.
And as always, everyone, be a goldfish.
Be a goldfish.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Front Row Network, a proud Community Voices member of National Public Radio Illinois. For more from the Front Row Network, including our articles or our other dozens of shows, visit thefrontrownetwork.com or nprillinois.org/programs/frontrownetwork. You can also find us on social media by searching for the Front Row Network on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram, and on Twitter at Front Row Reviews with a Z.